Yes, Alfred?
To the bat phone, sir.
Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
It's Batman!
Greetings, everyone.
Oh, no.
And welcome to episode 85.
Start over!
Batmania, hell no. 66.
I wasn't ready.
Yeah, when are we ever ready for this? Welcome to episode 85 of Batmania 66. Tonight's episode, today's episode, this
episode.
They
can listen at any time, day or night.
That's true. You can listen day and night.
Night and day.
You are the one. This episode is called A Piece of the Action. We have Holly back again after our holiday break.
Hi!
Our holiday break.
Yay!
And we have myself. Who's
Ben.
Me?
Ben is waving.
Yes. Hi, everybody. Hi. Hi, Stevie Wonder. And they...
Thanks, George Bush.
Oh, nothing's funnier than presidents waving at blind people.
We're about to step into 4 years of presidents waving at blind people.
This is going to be great.
President Tweetstorm is in full swing. All right, everybody. Moving on to more pleasant things. Scott is joining us again today.
Hello.
Hi, Scott. Scott.
Ben's dying.
I'm allergic to Scott.
Oh, no.
Scott, as our guest, if you would, do the honors of giving us our villain and the villainous plot of the episode.
I think honors is an overstatement, especially
me, honors.
Honors.
Honors. So
you know what? As in my personal rebellion against our new president, I'm going to pronounce the H in every word. Every word. Not just in huge.
Huge.
No, huge.
No, I got it.
Yeah. It doesn't even like CH. It's not China, it's Gina.
Yeah, well, CH makes a G sound. Everyone knows that.
Sure. I don't know what...
I thought CH made sugar for cakes.
It makes the greatest sugar snacks and candies.
Yeah.
It's Dan Dan Dandy.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Hi, I'm Dan Dan Dandy.
That's the worst. Is that your stripper name?
No, that's my Dapper Day name.
Oh, I like it.
Dan Van Dandy.
Dan Dan Dandy for Dapper Day.
Dan. Dan Dandy.
Dan Dan Dandy.
Yeah, Dan is my nickname, so I put it in parentheses.
Your name's also Dan?
Yeah.
I had the last name was Dan Dandy.
No, no, it's Dan. Dan. Dandy.
Nice.
I shouldn't have had 3 cups of coffee, guys. It's going to be weird.
But Scott, if you would, who's our villain? And what's their villainous plot?
Do you know?
So, I mean, it's Colonel Gum,
yes.
Right? Which I hope they explain in the second part of this episode how he got his rank.
No.
Because there are no...
There will
there's
not.
No insignias on his uniform.
He's wearing a jumpsuit and a Cossack's
okay,
uniform.
Okay, wait, I have a
maybe
whole...
he was a colonel in the Russian military.
Yeah, there you go. His Russian
his
accent
Russian was... His
Russian
accent was pretty solid.
It was
his Russian accent, but whatever.
No,
his...
the same as the dad from American Tale.
His Russian accent was like...
It was!
The best of his accents.
That's true.
What are you talking about? He spoke with a British accent!
Wait, yeah. do you think... I'm sorry.
He would have been perfectly at home in a Gilbert and Sullivan musical. So.
Forgive me for jumping ahead a little bit, but do you think he uses his alphabet soup to phonetically spell out the pronunciations for his accents?
What is this alphabet soup is?
I don't know.
It's really disconcerting.
All numismatists like alphabet soup.
Numismatists.
Yes.
That's the real name for stamp collectors? Or?
Yes. Unless it's coin collecting, in which case, everybody, send your hate mail to Julie Taymor, care of Bono in the Edge.
No, that's my email now.
Numismatics. Nice.
I made an email.
Nope. Numismatists are coin collectors. Philatelists are stamp collectors.
That sounds like toots.
That's right.
Yes.
Thank you, Tom Lehrer, for
exactly,
that one.
Exactly, yes. That's where I got it.
Philately.
Yes. We know it from a Tom Lehrer song called Smut.
Smut, yeah. Oh, somehow right. He fit that into a musical line. But anyway.
Well, you needed something to rhyme with Lady Chatterley.
Yeah, exactly. Philately. So Colonel Glum is making fake stamps.
And yes.
And intends to sell them. At a stamp forum, convention.
Oh,
that's taking place in Gotham
trade
City.
Trade show or convention or something.
That's right.
At the same time as the newspaper convention.
Yes, a publishing convention.
Which, you look disturbed, Holly.
Gotham City.
Are you shaking your leg under the table?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
It's hitting a bag and making a frrrr noise.
His leg is a card and a bicycle spoke?
Yeah, it was! You didn't hear that?
Nope.
Yeah.
Fine.
That was clearly accidental.
No, I know. I was just
making Thanks. Sure. Thanks for making me feel like a dick, Holly.
You do it just fine on your own.
No. Feel like one, not feel one.
Oh. Mm-hmm. My bad.
Ding.
Okay.
So says Dan Dandy.
I
still like Dan Dandy as a last name.
No, I have the image of his business card.
No, I like that too. I just like the idea of saying Dan Dandy.
Dan Dandy? Okay.
Mr. Dan Dandy.
Anyway, he's going to, as he puts it, make a killing. Either selling his counterfeit stamps or swapping them out for real ones. It wasn't particularly clear what he planned to do. But as our episode begins, the Green Hornet and Kato, that's right, the Green Hornet and Kato are our guest stars in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And as we all know, the Green Hornet is played by Who Cares? And Kato is played by Bruce Lee. Yeah.
Sulu.
Oh.
Scott asked if it was Sulu before we started.
Why not?
Oh, it hurts.
Oh, that one burns. All right.
Ben was going to, like, it was like you were mutating into super nerd form. Like, you were going to Hulk out, but it's like the comic book guy from The Simpsons. But you kept
thinner and more wiry, and the glasses get thicker.
In my defense. In my defense, it was before he spoke.
And your neck, you get a neck beard?
Which I just actually trimmed down because I was at a wedding yesterday.
Good job, Ben.
Nice.
I had not shaved since Halloween.
That's how long it's been since I painted my toenails.
All right. Scott, what have you not done since Halloween?
Shaved, actually.
Ah.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah.
I mean, about a week and a half after, but yeah.
You've cleaned up. So you trim up.
No.
Not trim, but like neck stuff and cheek stuff. Oh, yeah. Right.
I'm sorry, baby. I don't do neck stuff. And then...
costs extra.
Nice.
So... Kato and the Green Hornet pull up at the Pink Chip Stamp Factory.
The Pink Chip Stamp Factory?
Remember that, because they only say it once.
The Pink Chip.
A scene.
a sentence. He said it four times. The narrator said it.
Stamps Factory. The narrator had a hard time with it.
And he said it's three or four times.
They run in, and they catch Colonel Gum and his henchmen in the act. That was a dog. Colonel Gum was our henchman. Our castanets.
Our castanets.
We're thinking of adding sound effects to the podcast to attract viewers.
Oh my god, we need a penny.
We need a mariachi band to do a sting every time there's a bad guy.
That was so good.
Green Hornet and Kato run in. They then punch all the henchmen once and go, "All right, that's good enough. Let's leave for 24 hours and then come back."
This doesn't make any sense.
No.
No, I feel like...
We discovered what we wanted to, and we beat up some fools. And then
Now let's give them 24 hours to cover up the evidence and leave.
Yeah.
So this is what I wrote. I want a pink jumpsuit.
It can be arranged.
And then when they kept saying factory, I was like, is this a factory? No one's mentioned it. Because passive-aggressive note-taking.
Yeah. And then we find out... when she comes down from her apartment above, that Pinky Pinkston, the owner of the factory, lives above the factory.
I have a question.
Yeah?
I wrote, Rosie-fingered-morn?
Rosie-fingered-morn?
I'm assuming it's something the narrator said?
Maybe.
Rosie-fingered-morning.
He said morn, but yes.
Oh, yeah.
What is, like, that? What is rosy fingered?
Because
mean?
The sunrise is reddish and it creeps over the town like fingers.
Also, we're sticking with the pink theme for the rest.
I got it. I just...
Rosy fingered morn. It's about the most poetic the narrator has gotten, at least while I've seen an episode.
There's a lot of... Sorry, I started early, but there's a lot of pink jokes to be made in this episode.
It's true. If you want poetry, you need to listen to... the commish pining for Batman.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Because he goes off.
Is he married?
Yeah.
Okay. To the job.
To the
and his wife.
And his wife.
Yeah.
And his wife.
He's a bigamist.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Pinky Pinkerton lives above the factory, which is weird for a well-to-do socialite, I think.
Pinkston. Pinkerton, right?
Yeah, Pinkston,
yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, I think Pinkston was her father, and I'm not even joking right now.
No, it was Pincus.
Yeah.
Oh,
Pincus Pinkston. I actually wrote these names down because...
Okay, but I have something really important to talk about.
Yes. Pray tell.
So when she goes down and she's talking to...
Yeah, she does.
Captain Clue. What's his name?
Colonel Gum.
Colonel Gum. Or sorry. Colonel Mustard, as I started calling him in my head.
Colonel Gum.
Mr. Mustache.
Yes, he does have a fine mustache.
Yes, he does.
But she's talking to him, and then I couldn't listen to what was happening. Why, you ask? Because there is a pink globe labeled Alphabet Soup.
Yeah.
I wrote down, this guy really likes his alphabet soup.
What's the deal with alphabet soup?
I don't know. I have no idea. None whatsoever. That's, I mean, it's a character choice.
Yeah. It seems like the payoff for it happens at the dinner scene or the lunch scene.
Yeah,
still not even the payoff. Payoff is a gross exaggeration.
More like somebody opens the register and then quickly shuts it again. There's still plenty changing hands in that moment.
He gets to yell at a guy in a British accent. Filthy colonials.
Yes. British.
British.
Hmm. All right. I'll accept it. She asks Colonel Gum, hey, who were those people who came in and attacked you? And he just says, probably some hoodlums. And she goes, in a fancy car. So she calls Commissioner Gordon. And then while she's talking to Commissioner Gordon on the phone, we see Commissioner Gordon's end of the conversation. And rather than just ADR in her side of the conversation or have silence, we actually hear, I think for the first time in the show.
Yeah.
We hear. Yeah.
Am I wrong? That's exactly what it sounded like.
It was.
Which is how I'm doing the rest of this podcast.
It's how you always do the podcast, honey.
False.
And then they make the comment that they go from the, pink chip stamp factory, the pink walls of the pink chip, to the brick-colored stately Wayne Manor.
Yes.
Brick-colored.
Do you know why it's brick-colored?
Because they mentioned the red phone right afterwards, and if they say had the red-colored brick of Stately Wayne Manor, they would have had to say red twice?
No, it's because it's made of bricks.
Oh.
It's an astute observation there, Holly.
Yes, you are definitely astute.
Is that a fat joke?
No. Silence is golden.
Yeah.
They
dead air, everybody.
It's fine.
They know they're when that happens. Holly and I are staring at each other. Oh, this is my next note is getting some pink, because this is where we find out that Bruce is scheduled to have lunch with Pinky Pinkerton. Pinkston. Pinkerton's my name. If I was writing the show, it would have been Pinkerton. Holly, why are you trying to bite your thumb off?
She's not a fan of her hand brace.
I'm not a fan of my hand. I'm trying to gnaw it off like a dog. You guys are going to have to put a cone around my head. No, there's one string, and it's bugging me.
One string, like in Vaughn and the Villains?
No, like in Rent, like one string, glory, one string, beep. That's not how that song goes?
That's exactly how that song goes. Okay. Precisely.
It's painful.
Bruce is talking with Commissioner on the bat phone, and the regular phone rings, and Aunt Harriet picks it up, and we find out that Bruce has a date with Pinky later that day.
It's a lunch date. It's not like a date.
Yeah, it's a lunch date. But
it's how you get in the friend zone, man.
The friend zone's not a thing. Women don't owe you anything. Blah, blah, blah. Male feminist bullshit. I hope it gets me laid someday. And then...
fingers crossed, man.
Not just my fingers. Sorry, where was I?
You were crossing your fingers.
As far as you know. And they... Pinky Pinkerton. Pinkston. And they... That's gonna
be... What is Pinkerton from?
I don't know.
It's the... Pinkertons, they were a private detective agency.
That's it! Yep. Oh god, it's from Murder Podcasts.
Oh my god. Crossover, everybody.
You think we can get Bruce Lee to do the show? And they,
Too soon, man.
No, it's okay, we'll team up with Ghost Cast. It'll be fine.
We'll get a Ouija board.
A Ouija board?
The Ouija board.
And they,
Are you trying to say Luigi board?
No.
Okay.
A Ouija board.
Gotcha.
Did I ever tell you about the time I walked out to my car and there was a Ouija board sitting on my front lawn?
No.
Yeah, that happened. And I left it there. I'm not fucking with no juju.
Not after you got ghost jizzed.
I did get ghost jizzed. Although I don't think it was jizz. I got ghosted in the face, jizz. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe your ghost was a squirter.
Ben!
What? Like a water gun.
Ben. Ben, I want to take a water gun and go see cats.
They're not all method actors. That's not how that works.
It's false. You think they're going to keep doing what they're doing if I start squirting them in the face with water? They won't. It works on everybody.
Besides, we can't see it here because there's no cats in America.
It's on Broadway. There's a revival.
Why?
I don't know, but I gotta go.
It's all for Magical Mr. Mistopheles.
No, it's all for the tire UFO.
The what?
The tire UFO! You know what I'm talking about!
Well, you know, that's Andrew Lloyd's staple. He's got the chandelier and the flying tires.
It's the chandelier of that play.
Anyway, we get to police headquarters. Oh, sorry. Batman and Robin
This is finally a remarkably convoluted opening,
yes,
by the way.
We're still in the opening, everybody.
There's a handful of, like, intertwining plot lines, and then they don't exist after that. It distills its way down to one.
But they jump down the bat pole, and the credits roll.
What's his name called?
Brent Reed.
He called.
I was about to say
Bruce Wayne.
Richards.
Oh yeah, he calls Bruce. He calls Bruce.
Who?
Reed Richards.
Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah, I was just about to say Reed Richards, and I'm glad I stopped.
He doesn't live there.
No.
And
wrong universe.
Yeah.
Then we get the opening credits. We get find out the title of the episode is a piece of the action because I didn't write it down before. And we see Brent Reed calling Pinky and asking her out. She then invites him to lunch specifically so he and Bruce can fight over her. She's terrible.
Worst Ben, threesome ever.
Ben, I don't know.
Not for her. Those are both handsome men.
Yeah.
And she isn't a bad looking girl.
And for...
No, and her wig is made of plastic. It's fine.
It was the 70s.
Ben.
Oh, yeah?
Women are the worst. If there's one thing we know from this show, it's women are awful.
No question.
Ow, ow, ow.
And yeah, so she literally says, fight over me.
Yeah.
Which, you know what? We'll get to it later, but she kind of gets her comeuppance at lunch. My next note is stop saying pink chip stamp factory. Because they started saying it again at Commissioner Gordon's office.
Yeah, it was pretty tough.
And we find out that, and I assume this will come up in the next episode because it doesn't really come up in this episode. We find out that Pinky's father was once owner of the rare Gotham Gothic stamp that went missing after his death.
Mysteriously.
Yes. This is when
Commissioner... They said that like four times. I have to...
When Commissioner Gordon... They shoved it up some mammoth's ass.
Yeah, this is I bet
when
it is.
Commissioner Gordon... introduces Batman to Brent Reed, and I just wrote down awkward. And Brent Reed walks in and he goes, hey, we have a mutual friend in Bruce Wayne who you look exactly like.
Yeah.
Because yeah. I'm a newspaper man and therefore paid to be observant, and yet I can't tell who's under that costume.
And then he mentions that he's going to be seeing Bruce Wayne for lunch.
Yes.
Along with Pinky Pinkston.
And
which Bruce does not seem happy about.
He's also surprised.
Yeah.
And
then, oh, are you? He's like, you're either a liar or...
or that woman is the worst.
Yeah. Which we know to be true.
And because she's a woman in Gotham, and that's a real thing in Gotham. And they are talking.
Ben's making fun of me.
And constantly. And they mentioned that...
Beric's right.
The Green Hornet has been seen in Gotham. Yeah, but you keep coming back. It's not my fault anymore.
That's true.
And
you've Stockholm syndromed me.
Mm-hmm. There's how many episodes of this show? Maybe the best moment of the podcast. It was the first episode.
The first episode.
They Brilliant. Commissioner Gordon announces that the Green Hornet has been spotted, and Brent Reed says, "The devil you say! What a coincidence that the Green Hornet and I show up on the same day.
And we're from the same town.
Yes.
Coincidence.
Exactly. Yeah.
Although,
what is the town's name? It's like Wilbury or...
I don't remember. Let's ask, not Will Ferrell, Seth...
Rogan,
that's the one.
Yeah, there we go.
That was a bad movie. Anybody else see that movie?
Nope.
I did not.
It was not good. Which is too bad. Could have been fun. Anyway, next note is Stamp Heist. I don't remember why Stamp Heist.
Oh, because it goes back to the factory.
Right, that's
and
right.
Colonel Gum and his cohorts are talking, and the names of these guys are... I've seen henchmen before in this, and they always seem to be the nameless variety. They're basically putties, but...
They always have names!
I don't know. Like, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
They don't always get mentioned in the episode, but always have names.
But these guys not only had names, but they had names on their shirts.
Yes.
And their names were what their roles were in the print, in the counterfeiting.
Not necessarily.
Well, canceled wasn't, unless he was just ruining stamps at the end of the line.
Did these guys legally change their names?
Listen, there's a whole hypothesis about what happens at Central Henching.
Yes.
Central
CHA. Henching.
Yeah, CHA. Okay. It's the Central Henching Agency. It's where you bad guys go to get their henchmen.
Yeah. Okay.
So I assume that they have real names, but because they're union, they get to keep those names safe, and they just take on the name that's appropriate for their bad guy.
That makes sense. I'll go with that 100%.
Because then if they get arrested, that's in air quotes.
And in Gotham, Batman is allowed to sign legal contracts as Batman. Therefore, their
criminal records are only under canceled, or glue gun, or whatever that other guy's name was.
Canceled was arraigned in Gotham.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's canceled reprint. And,
well, because like the penguin is in.
You mean Pengy?
He's in there as the Penguin. Like they don't call him Copper Bottom.
Nope, neither of us are going to give in to that one. You're welcome.
Scott doesn't know.
No.
Oh, okay.
That's why.
All right, well, yeah. I'm not going to give in to that one. It's Cobblepot. And
gave in! I win!
I'm not going to give in. But here I am, yeah. Mansplaining.
No, it's correct. No. It's
100% giving in because I know Holly knows better and she's only doing it to bait me. She's a masturbator.
That's you.
And a nose pusher-upper.
My glasses.
yeah. So block, canceled, and repeat? No.
Reprint.
Reprint. That's where it is.
They kind of sound like the Captain Planet kids.
Yeah.
I read an article that talked about just how high quality all of the voices on Captain Planet were. Like, I had forgotten that some of the villains were super high quality, but it was LeVar Burton and Whoopi Goldberg and a couple other really awesome people as the main characters. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Well, it's like when you watch Gargoyles and it's everybody from Star Trek.
Next Generation, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Including Brent Spiner being awesome as Puck.
We should watch Gargoyles.
Yeah.
You guys want to stop doing this and go watch some Gargoyles?
As soon as we're done with this.
No, just now.
Oh, no.
Goodbye, everybody.
Right now. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Signing off.
Delete. They,
They're sitting there talking about...
Oh, because one of them is printing fake stamps badly, and there's lots of bleed to the print.
It's all fuzzy.
Yeah, it's all fuzzy.
And blurry.
Oh.
Colonel Mustard was not... I have a bone to pick with the Green Hornet. It's a real human person.
Yes.
Okay.
Brent Reed.
He was... I think he might have been talking to Pinky Pinkston. Or whoever, but he was saying how him and Bruce Wayne
have been rivals
since they were children.
Yes.
I have several issues with this.
That's why Brent Reed bumped off his own family, because he wanted...
Is he an orphan?
No, not that I know of.
Okay, so one...
I mean, I think he's actually... Yes, but later in life, he inherited the paper in some versions of the story.
But not as a child. He didn't watch his parents get shot?
No.
Okay, so leave the poor orphan kid alone, you you jackass?
I think the idea is that they were friendly rivals.
Leave the poor orphan kid alone, you jackass! Wait. He watched his parents die!
Poor orphan kid?
I don't mean financially poor, I mean emotionally. Ben? He puts on a bat suit and fights crime because he is so broken inside.
I'm just saying, that kid had more coming out, money coming out of him than the mammoth has stamps coming out of his ass. Which is a real thing in Gotham.
So here's my note. How did they know each other as children? Why are you trying to rival an orphan boy? Dick move. Nice. Who's mad? Who's having none of it?
I just kind of let that one go.
Colonel Gum.
It's a dick move.
Let's provide a little.
Then gets challenged by Pinky when she explains that she knows that it was the Green Hornet that was there the night before. She leaves and he starts plotting against her, saying there's more than one way to skin a pink cat. And I just was all of the innuendo in that particular statement is terrifying.
That pink dog's name is Apricot.
I didn't catch that.
Why does that bother me?
Because that's not pink.
Thank you, Ben.
Oh, I didn't realize that wasn't rhetorical.
It was.
Oh, okay.
I just was glad that you caught that. And it made me very cranky for the whole rest of the show. Well, I was already...
I majored in rhetoricals in college. The tests are very easy.
I would love that. Is that what a philosophy major does?
Yes.
I feel like that joke needed to be accompanied by a rim shot.
It's not that kind of podcast. Nah. They, Oh.
That was a rim job joke.
Yes.
Correct. I figured.
Okay. Just making sure.
I knew as I was saying rim shot that it was going to go in that direction. So.
Blue
unless I was
gonna us?
Have, unless I was going to have a Chinese man carry me in it. Wait, that's a rickshaw. Sorry. I said Chinese man. We're okay. And they...
No, that's fine. Yeah. That's cultural.
They,
You didn't use the O word.
Or the other C word that Mr. Burns used and they had to cut out of future Simpsons reruns.
You're kidding me.
No.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They
The laziest racial slur ever?
Yeah. He used that in one episode when Smithers was carrying him in a rickshaw. And in future episodes, they had to overdub it. So he just says, because the line is... pull faster, you call yourself a blank.
And person of Asian descent.
Yes. Specifically from China. Specifically a man from China. And they replaced it with you call yourself Chinese in reruns. They had to overdub it.
That almost feels more racist.
It does almost feel more
racist. No, it's somehow worse. When you try to make things better, you almost always so make things worse.
Oh.
Especially, you know what it is? It's because... The cultural sensitivity of changing it to Chinese makes the character more racist than just having him being old and culturally insensitive.
Yeah.
Anyway, where were we? We're skinning a pink cat. That's what we were doing. And we cut back to the Batcave where Bruce and Dick are trying to use the Batcomputer to figure out who the Green Hornet is. And it gives them no answer, and Batman explains it's because they didn't install a dual identity bat sensor.
Right.
Because you can't find out somebody's secret identity without a specific secret identity sensor.
Yeah, which, don't worry, they're going to go get the parts for.
Yeah, at Radio Shack. Just, they got a kit.
It's not even the parts, it was a part. Like, somebody literally built a dual identity sensor.
Don't you think, I don't know, if you were the Radio Shack... You'd be like, oh, hey, Mr. Wayne.
Buying here's a look. Here's your bat sensor and your bat radio and your bat copter door handle, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know what I wrote. Thank you, Captain Obvious, about. Oh, it was Dick. I remember.
But this is where Bruce explains that they can't go to Radio Shack now because I've got a date. And you've got tutoring.
I feel like the division of this is just horribly unfair.
And that
Bruce gets to hang out with chicks. And
my road is I get some play, you get tutoring.
Yeah, Dick has to go and learn French.
French tutoring.
For what reason?
So I'm thinking is maybe his French tutor is like a super hot French
tutor. That's what I thought too. I'm like, she's got to be hot. She's a French tutor. In the 60s, they're only gorgeous.
I don't believe that to be true.
Yeah, I feel like that's
But I believe that to be true in your headcanon. Which is apparently running down its fuse right now. This is where we cut to Bruce and Brent and Pinky all at lunch. And this was apparently a thing where at restaurants, women would come around in dresses and lingerie and allow men to evaluate and decide if they wanted to purchase said items.
Yep. Gotta love the mid-60s.
Yep.
Well, no, I mean, it's not exactly this thing, but there's a Mad Men episode where that they go to a fundraiser and it's kind of like that too.
Yeah, well, there's also, there's a, since I just finished binge watching it, there's a Dick Van Dyke episode where it's literally the same thing.
Oh, okay.
They're at lunch and...
It's an era where prostitution is completely immoral, but buying a woman, that's fine.
Or just literally buying the clothing off of her back. Yeah. This is where Bruce and Brent are talking to women, and the women are shamelessly flirting with them. At one point, Bruce, while staring directly into the crotch of the woman who's showing off her lingerie, asks her what size it is.
Which, that's a weird question.
Yeah.
That's rude.
That's rude in general.
Well, is he gonna wear it?
Maybe, no, it's for Dick.
Is Dick gonna wear it? Is Aunt Harry gonna wear it?
Well, not for long.
Yep. It's gonna look great on the floor.
And she tells him it's 555 something 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 something, and Bruce goes, it's size 5 million, blah 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 blah.
555 555 555
Was it really?
Yeah, yeah, like 1234 America way.
Didn't catch it.
Not even an area code. Don't by the way,
my address, Holly.
Does Gotham have an area code?
No.
Apparently not.
But... Well, you'd assume it was a local call. Hmm. And they and he goes, it's size 5 million, five blah blah, and she goes, no, that's my phone number. Which I have to say, if I were her, I don't care how rich this dude is, I'd probably be done.
He's a fucking retard.
Yeah. That's exactly.
Like, we're moving on.
No. That is the easiest man to manipulate.
Stupid and rich? Sign me up. Yeah.
There's a reason why she's the one dressed in lingerie. And you're the one thinking, I can manipulate that dude. There's a big reason.
My next note is, boys, just whip it out already.
Yeah. I know, I thought the same thing. It was definitely a pissing contest.
Yeah, oh, so much.
Although, Wayne, Bruce basically is like, yeah, you weren't invited to lunch. You can pay.
Yep.
Wait, solid.
Before,
friggin' solid.
Before they leave, and I didn't catch the line that prompted it, but before they leave, Pinky says something which causes a waiter to jump out into frame and say thank you and then jump away. Did you catch that?
I did. I didn't understand what happened.
She said something about the food or something, and I don't remember what. But the waiter just leaps into frame and then leaps away.
Yeah.
Like a gazelle. Meanwhile, Mr. Mud, Colonel Mud.
Gum.
Colonel Gum.
Gum. Sorry. He's the same guy who played Mud in Star Trek. So that's... Yeah.
What did I call him? Captain Glue?
Yeah.
Yeah. Colonel Gum.
You demoted him.
that mustache did deserve a promotion, right?
Is at another table.
That mustache belongs to majors and up.
Agreed.
Presumably, was he listening in, or was he just going to lunch? I didn't.
He was listening in.
He was listening in because he was leaning.
Got it.
His chair
was listening in, and then asks the waiter in a British accent for alphabet soup.
A very Gilbert and Sullivan.
No, British accent. You know what it reminds me of is Bender. trying to do a British accent.
That's good.
And they, the waiter explains that they do not have alphabet soup at this particular.
I don't understand.
But they have it in like a, what was it, clam chowder, gumbo?
It sounded like they were going to mix them all.
Yeah.
And that was the most nauseating
thing. There were no implied commas in this.
Oh, really? Yeah. I implied commas.
Inferred.
Inferred. That was the correct word.
Eat a dick.
See, I inferred some hostility in that statement.
I'm sorry. I couldn't understand you with all that dick in your mouth.
Well, I did politely ask Scott to dinner again. And they...
Because I can't say... Remember? Do you remember the last line?
Yeah, he can't wait to eat her pussy again.
Say things. So I...
It's been sung by a Muppet.
I know, but I have to say, I can't wait to politely ask her to dinner again.
Which is the greatest thing ever.
So Ben has made that, they're the same now.
It's the euphemism,
it's
yeah.
It's the euphemism.
Oh, it worked.
Anyway, Colonel Gum in the kitchen with the candlesticks.
Thank you.
He wants his alphabet soup. I don't know why I'm doing an Obama impression right now. He wants his alphabet soup. And, oh, I don't know where we are. Sorry. Alphabet soup.
We're at your house. Are you feeling okay?
Oh, and we cut back to Bruce and Brent Reed. And Bruce sticks Brent Reed with the check because Brent Reed invited himself to lunch.
Right.
Yep.
He said that Miss Pinkston invited him and... And
you invited Miss Pinkston, and then he hands Brent the check. And they explain, Brent explains that he would invite Bruce to the newspaperman's conference, but it's members only, and that's why they have those cool jackets. And Bruce says that he's got a meeting at the board of...
this is when they should have pulled out their wings.
Wayne Foundation.
Their wanes?
Their wanes.
Their wanes.
And they, their dad's umbrellas. And they...
It's another one that went over my head.
So one time, it was very sad. So the Penguin had an umbrella factory, and Bruce Wayne brought his dad's umbrella.
Oh no!
To get
if Hollywood
fixed,
writing a Batman musical, this would be the ballad.
To get it fixed.
Yes.
To get it fixed, but he was mostly checking out what was going on with the Penguin. But it was dad's umbrella. And what if it got messed up?
It's an umbrella, Holly.
It's his dad's umbrella, Ben!
You have to remember, sometimes things have sentimental value, and sometimes things are just things other people used to own.
It's his umbrella.
This clearly crushed you.
It was very...
She was legitimately torn up about it.
I'm still upset over it.
Wow.
Why would he keep it that long if it was just a stupid umbrella?
Because it just sat in the umbrella stand for years and years.
It's a gigantic mansion.
Like one rainy day in Gotham, he went into the elephant's leg umbrella stand and pulled it out and tried to open it. And it had like just a spring loose in it. Yeah. It's okay. The Penguin gave it back because he respects umbrellas.
It's true. He did. It was a very nice Penguin.
There was a whole scene about it. In Holly's head after the episode ended.
I was so concerned.
Oh, no.
And then
Bruce... I wouldn't just loan out my dad's books. You don't just hand over your umbrella to supervillains.
Can you put that on a t-shirt for me, please?
You don't just hand out your dad's umbrella to supervillains.
So Bruce explains that he's about to go get this stamp that he suspects being fake, going to take it to his regular stamp guy, and they go to... Oh, God, I didn't catch his name.
Oh, no. I didn't write it down.
Who's?
Oh, Severoff. Severoff, the stamp guy. They get there, and it is clearly Colonel Gum.
Yeah.
In a Cossack's outfit. And I wrote down, how is this Bruce's normal guy? Has Colonel Gum just been operating both the stamp factory, the pink chip stamp factory, and his Russian stamp store? I don't understand.
Well, and Brent also seems to have a...
Yep.
Like, millionaires really love their stamps, don't they?
Yes.
In this universe.
Who it's doesn't just, love stamps?
I don't care.
They go there, and Severoff, in his Russian accent...
Russian like the dad in American Tail.
Yeah, but more Transylvanian in a lot of places.
No, have you watched American Tail?
Yes.
It's exactly the same
accent. I haven't watched it in years.
Well, that's your
mistake. That's what we need to do a Don Bluth podcast.
Oh, do you want to watch me cry all the time? Because that sounds great.
Okay, so Valerie, who's been a guest on our show and is my dearest, dearest friend, one of them anyway. Sorry, Holly.
And no, it's fine. Val can, I accept this.
No, it's fine. Whatever.
No, I accept it.
You're going to have to whip it out on the table now?
I mean, it's fine. Val's one of my dearest friends, too.
Reasonable.
Shots fired.
She's lovely.
She is lovely.
Yeah. But
can we have a podcast about how great Val is?
I think we're doing that right now.
Aw.
And there's the Disney short.
Scott's like, I've met her a couple times. She's great.
She seems nice. There's a Disney Shorts collection, and one of them in the Disney Shorts collection is the Matchstick Girl.
Oh my god, she and I were talking about that!
Valerie cannot get through that without crying, and I don't mean, oh, that's so sad, little tear, which is what I do. I mean ugly, horrible bawling. And the best thing about it is I had not actually seen this until one day we were watching it together, and she is sitting next to me, like ugly, like anime crying.
Oh yeah.
And then first of all, I'm laughing my ass off because I'm an awful human being. And then it cuts straight to a Goofy setting up hysteria.
Oh yeah. Shirt, because I watched this and you came home like right after I started watching the Goofy one, and he was like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, it was this cartoon, and then she danced to it.
Look at how sad it is. And it's Goofy trying to settle the stereo system.
Yeah. Do you remember that?
Vaguely.
Yeah. That was early.
That's not the first time that I've come home to you crying. So,
I one time watched the Van Gogh episode while he was out of the house.
Oh dear.
Yeah, I know.
Did you hide the sharp objects beforehand? Not that I think you would have killed yourself, but you would have ended up with one ear. I want to be a genius too. And they, how did we get on the subject?
Vows. Stamps. Val. We were talking about how great Val is.
Russian accent.
Don Bluth. There we go. Yes. And there were pandas. Red pandas. They're very unique.
Very unique.
I'll
tell you that one later.
Yeah, it's fine.
They, thank you, Central Park Zoo. And another Eastern European person. The nanny was Eastern European.
You still think she was a nanny and not a grandmother?
I think she was a nanny.
These tangents are intense.
Yes.
Yeah, this is for us. This is not for anyone else. This is why we have tens of listeners.
Although, if you were in the Central Park Zoo that day, please write us and tell us who you think it was, a nanny or a grandma.
We were in the Central Park Zoo, and we were standing kind of behind this nanny or grandmother and a small child.
Nana. It's our new game show, Nanny or grandma. You decide.
Well, I've told you about playing fat or pregnant, right? Which is only funny when you see a definitely pregnant woman. You're like, fat. It's awful. Anyways, so it's never funny the other way.
Does that
it's
count
just
as
mean.
Slut shaming?
Yes. I was very awful in college, but very uni. So they're kind of in front of us, and we're looking at the red pandas and the
Nanma.
The Nanma. Thank you. I was going for it. The Nanma says, those are red pandas. They're very unique. Mm. And Ben and I both go.
Yes.
I heard both of you say very unique, and I was definitely taken aback.
That's not something either of you say.
Those people wouldn't say that.
One of them wouldn't say it without the other one correcting, let alone agree. No, right, there's no way.
So Bruce is a normal guy. Don Bluth podcast. Crying Holly, crying Val, red pandas, back to Batman. And they...
Russian accent.
The best thing about this particular accent is Bruce accuses the stamp of being fake. And Mr. Severoff, very offended, asks if he thinks that he was trying to hoodwink Batman or Bruce.
Hoodwink.
And then they say hoodwink many, many times, which makes me happy.
And then Bruce suggests that it may have been Mr. Severoff himself who had been hoodwinked.
Yes. And
I wanted a chance to say it.
No, I know.
I honestly wanted a chance to say it.
This is a new Hat Factory.
Yes. And this is where I write longest scene ever.
Yeah.
but they finally leave, Bruce and Brent.
And I have a question.
Yes?
If you have a Russian accent, do you have to wear traditional Russian garb, or is that just a lifestyle choice that man made?
I think.
Or was it to sell his Russian persona?
It was to sell his Russianosity. And
the man has a hell of a wardrobe. I mean, he was wearing tweed.
But it's really easy to wear all those things under a pink jumpsuit.
Nah, that's a good point. There you go.
I think we should all wear
pink jumpsuits.
I think everyone should wear a pink jumpsuit. We can put...
We're taking it back.
We can put... You don't just hand your dad's umbrella to supervillains on a pink jumpsuit.
Damn right we can.
See?
And,
Gold.
I want to go as a henchman for Halloween this year.
To your guys' party. Two people came as henchmen.
But we need to get, like, a good spread. So we need to have some people in the Joker sweater vests. And we need to have...
You mean, like, do a murder mystery party, but have people come, like, assigned what they're supposed to... I like it.
That could work out.
I'm down. Oh, this is where, after they leave, Colonel Gum calls one of the henchmen on the phone. And says, are you ready with all the fake stamps? And he goes, yes, this run of counterfeit stamps was great. You won't even be able to tell the difference. While Pinky is standing 4 feet away.
Yeah.
Like, in frame, standing behind.
Yeah, and the dog goes, burp. And he went, what?
What? That was the thought bubble.
Yeah.
This is where we cut to Kato and Green Hornet getting ready to go out. And...
They're putting on their makeup and they're getting
putting
their
on the top
shoes.
Hat, putting on the white tail. And they, Green Hornet says he happened to notice that Severoff and Colonel Gum were the same man. The devil, you say? What? No. And they rush over.
So this is where I'm confused.
Yes.
Why did they try and pose as.
That's
bad
the,
guys.
That's
at this
the Green
point.
Hornet's
that's
whole
the,
thing.
Yeah, that's their spiel.
The whole thing with the Green Hornet is that he, either one would be acceptable, actually. Mm.
Thanks, Editor Ben.
But
they shtick would be, I think, more appropriate, but spiel would work.
I meant shtick.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, that whole carrot and the shtick approach. And they...
Oh, God. Ah!
I liked it. I was for it.
They
throw something at you.
They.
I was into it.
They. Oh, I derailed my own train of thought.
Oh, they pose as villains.
They pose as villains.
Okay.
The whole idea is that by being able to infiltrate the underworld, they can then catch people easier. So that's their whole bit.
Gotcha.
And Batman and Robin are also getting prepared to go out, and they're going to stop both Colonel Gum and the Green Hornet.
Yes.
So they pull up in the Batmobile right in front, which is, you know, great and inconspicuous when you're staking a place out. And then say, look, there's an alleyway. We can hide because we don't, you know, we don't see Black Beauty. We can hide in that alley. They pull off to the left of frame.
The car, not the horse.
Yeah.
Same difference. The car seats were made from the horse. And they... I'm a bad person. They,
You're just trying to bum me out
and
today.
And the remnants of Bruce Wayne's dad's umbrella.
It is a soft top.
Must have been a huge umbrella. They pull off to...
It was an umbrella to cover a family of three.
Oh.
Oh. Oh.
Sadness.
Made by the Dark Alley Umbrella Company.
Oh, no. Did you know his mom's name was Martha?
Slowly I turn, step by step. That would have made that movie so much better.
That would have made the movie better.
And they were right by a swimming pool. He could have reached for a handful of Niagara. No problem. That's how that bit ends. He reaches for it's a seltzer ball. Bat seltzer. They,
That's got to be a thing, right?
Like the Brian Seltzer. And they...
Orchestra?
Yeah.
Okay.
They,
It never ends.
They...
No.
So they pull off, camera left.
Yeah.
And then Black Beauty and the Green Hornet pull up. And they say, good, no sign of the Batmobile. They must not be here. They go in the front door to confront Colonel Gum. And Batman and Robin come out from the alleyway on the right. So rather than park the car in the alleyway on the left, where they seemingly did, They parked the car and then went around the back of the building to the right.
To hide.
To hide. That doesn't make any sense. Wouldn't they just hide from the left side of the building where they were? Well, no, never mind. They would have gone around to the right because people were pulling up.
Yeah, it would have given them a better vantage point. So they would have been
facing the left if they were trying to hide on the left. It makes sense. Never mind. We're all good. Vito is instructing from the record. They,
Here, what were we talking about?
I'll just draw
about?
It out.
No, it's fine. I don't care.
It's okay. We'll fix it in post. They...
Can that be our George Lucas podcast?
Fix it in post?
Yeah.
Sometimes that post is 20 years down the line. Han still shot first.
They catch the Green Hornet and Kato going in.
What the hell is
that?
What
is it?
It's a vanity.
Okay.
Oh. It's just a picture of Holly. Holly? Holly? Holly. Because as everybody knows, vanity, thy name is woman. And they... Hey, that's some classy-ass sexism right there. They...
Ben's face is a butt.
That must be why I have this shit-eating grin. And they pull up... And they run in, and they run
Death
in.
Death eyes.
Robin's about to go in the front door, and Batman goes, no, I see an open window, which I thought meant they were about to climb up the side of the building. No, there's literally just a window on the first floor that they just stare into.
I know, I was so surprised. But who was going to be the surprise pop-out person? There were so many already.
The surprise was, there wasn't one.
It was surprising.
They pull up, or they're looking in, and... Green Hornet is pretending to want to get in on Colonel Gum's action. And Colonel Gum shows him his own invention. I didn't write down the name of it. The gigantic presser and perforator, whatever.
No.
Yeah. It does have that, though. It has perforator.
But he says, it's my own invention. An obvious trap.
Yes.
And... He then grabs the Green Hornet and Kato and straps them to this giant stamp-making machine.
He doesn't even strap them in. He shoves them through a door.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
Yeah, there's a door on the side of clearly what's marked the beginning of it, and he just kind of threw them in.
Like a dog door.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You it wasn't even that. Your dog the doors through a perforating like a and saloon. Stamping machine? You evil woman? Hmm? You send your dog through a perforating and stamping machine? You're evil. And what? You just said you had a dog door into your perforating and stamping machine.
I am not Captain Glue Gun, so I don't know why.
Stop demoting him.
Sorry. Admiral Glue Gun.
Just massively
demoted. Stop switching his branch to the military. He's not a naval officer. On lint patrol. And they...
That's dumb.
You still laugh.
I did.
They, Batman and Robin rush in to try to save Green Hornet and Kato. And we have our onomatopoeia fight.
Oh, I have this. Zlonk. Ugh. Zlop. Zap. Ouch.
This was a pretty lazy onomatopoeia fight.
And that's when Robin gets shoved against
You don't get to judge onomatopoeia fights.
It was lazy. There were, what, 5 of them?
It was a small fight.
Still a brawl.
It could happen to any Batman episode. We've had at least one without an onomatopoeia fight.
We've had 2 without an onomatopoeia fight.
Which was weird.
Like, remember, we got to get Alicia back on because she did not get an onomatopoeia fight and she was pretty bummed out about it.
That's right. And...
All right.
Yep. What was his logic behind that? He's got the car, he's got something else, and he's got... All he needs is the girl. So once he gets that, everything's all right. Did you not know this? There was a methodology behind Matthew McConaughey coming up with that. All right, look it up. Send it to Julie Tamer, CO, Bono in the Edge, @gmail.com.
That's what my email is.
But Robin is...
I haven't received any emails yet.
Robin is shoved into an undetachable glue pad. And then Batman is just sort of...
Which like I read Pauly is... originally thought I, was... I read as undetectable glue pad.
Which was awesome because it was
superior.
Labeled.
Superior.
Yes, because it was labeled. And I love the idea of labeling the
something
undetectable.
Something undetectable.
But you know what? If it's in the factory and it's there for testing, you would want something undetectable to be clearly labeled.
That's true.
From a practical standpoint.
That's very true.
Yeah.
So, like, if I'm a supervillain and I've got an undetectable death trap, I would label the fuck out of that while it was still in development.
Yeah.
And then Batman is just sort of positioned towards the glue trap and then push. Oh,
nudge.
Do you think they're going to have to gnaw their legs off to get out of the glue trap like a rat?
They can just take they can just take their clothes off.
Why? Is it getting hot in there?
They'll take off all their clothes?
It is getting so hot.
They're going to take their clothes off.
Yeah.
Complicated lyrics right there.
How many writers do you think that song had?
Oof.
Look it up. Scott and I play this game all the time. How many writers do you think?
Oh, at least five. Like, there is a lot of lyrical complexity going on in that tune. And they, like that Friday song. Wow. Modern day Shakespeare's. They,
7 a.m. waking up in the morning. Gotta be fresh, gotta go downstairs.
There's actually more lyrics to that song than it's Friday, Friday.
Yeah, I know all of them. Don't ask me why.
Scott did.
Don't
a cover.
Ask me why is a superior song.
I've heard Scott sing that song.
In the shower? Tell me it was in the shower.
No.
No. Uh-huh. It was unprovoked on a Friday morning.
Okay. I send Holly texts that say it's Wednesday. Wednesday, got to get down on Wednesday sometimes.
Yeah, which is mean.
And then we have Colonel Gum gloating that he has... Okay, it wasn't just an image of the Green Hornet, right? That was supposed to be the Green Hornet flattened into a stamp,
yeah.
Correct?
Yes.
I have questions.
Cartoon logic.
I know that's the answer, but that doesn't actually alleviate my question.
You may have just killed him. That's the thing.
What's your question?
My question is...
You take a bicycle pump and you put it in the foot of the picture, and you go... And then he'll be person again.
If that's how it...
Down. I'm good. Nope. Everything's explained.
Okay. I fixed it.
Oh, wow. Four writers.
Oh.
Hot in here. Single by Nelly. Be Cornell Hayes Jr., which I think is Nelly's actual name. Pharrell Williams, Chad Hugo, and Charles L. Brown.
Huh.
Charlie Brown?
Yeah.
Wrote that song? I don't believe that for a second.
He's a clown.
That Charlie Brown?
He's going to get caught.
Ah, just you wait and see.
Cornell Hayes.
Oh, come on!
Boo!
Boo!
Boo! Earned.
Get off the stage! Boo.
What just happened?
You missed your cue.
You had one line! You had one line!
What?
You're like that waiter if that waiter hadn't jumped into the scene.
What did I miss? Rewind.
No, it's over now.
What is,
you missed the moment.
We were talking.
You're going to have to listen to the podcast to find out.
We were talking the words to the Charlie Brown song, and your line was clearly, why is everybody always picking on me, and you missed it.
Completely.
Sorry about that.
Meanwhile, we get the narrator.
You guys suck.
Making...
We don't... No!
No.
We're voting you off the island.
We gave you the easiest possible layup, and you missed it.
That we set the ball on the tee. And like, you walked away to play golf. Ben just second me on this. He's looking at me like I'm crazy.
You mixed your metaphors.
A couple of them.
Well, I mean, I like the idea that we set the ball up on the tee and then he went to play golf. Like he didn't
but
realize.
Not at that
he had
tee,
no idea we were playing tee ball.
Yeah.
See? But, it made sense.
To me, he walked up to the plate with a driver.
That would have at least been helpful.
You know what? It would have been better if you had just not known it and looked at us like we were crazy, but you were completely out to lunch. You were so busy.
I was reading about Chad Hayes Jr. or whatever the hell his name was.
But anyway, Batman and Robin are trapped. Kato's about to be squished into a stamp. And that is the end of our episode. Dun, dun, dun!
Batman and Robin are stuck to undetectable glue.
Yes.
Yeah.
Undetachable glue.
Whatever. Same difference. Clearly, it's not undetachable because Colonel Mudd said he's going to detach them and put them in the stamp machine. So,
is he
going to
make naked stamps?
I seriously doubt that.
He'd have to. Undetachable.
I like how you say that with such finality. Undetachable.
They can't label it that if it's not true, Ben.
That's right. There's labeling laws in Gotham.
I bet there is.
But that is the end of our episode. Next episode coming up is episode 87? I didn't write down the name of the episode. What was the name of the episode?
Holly wrote it down, I think.
The next one?
Oh, it's right there. Batman's Satisfaction.
Oh, yeah. He can't get now.
All right. Batman's Satisfaction is coming up next. And, Scott, is there anything you want to plug?
Nah, I'm good.
You can find Holly on Twitter and Instagram at _awkwardblonde. Also on Facebook?
On Facebook.
On Facebook. And you can find the podcast at Batmania66 on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Carrier Pigeon. And you can
email. Smoke Signal.
Smoke Signal. And Telegraph. Coconut Telegraph, if you're a Jimmy Buffett fan. And they...
Nice.
They,
Is that a thing?
No, it's a Jimmy Buffett song.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
That's what I meant by thing.
It's a real thing in Jimmy Buffett songs. And they... And then you can email us at batmania66mail@gmail.com.
Or
you can email Holly at julietamor@gmail.com. So if you're enjoying the podcast, please go ahead and leave us a review on iTunes or Podomatic. If you're really enjoying the podcast, feel free to give a little to our PayPal so we can continue to produce this podcast with our obviously stellar production value. And we will see you guys next time. Same bat time. Same bat channel.